Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
I'm not walking with the Lord like I used to. It's like temptation's got a hold of me. Then I cry at night 'cause I ought to, and the praise to Him I hold, I'm on my bended knee. From the road I chose to raise my family, and the more I learned forgiveness, the less I saw of grief. And the more I watched His children in their eyes, I saw His light. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you for the ride. Well, I want to walk with you. Take my hand, amen. Hold it tight. I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. I did my time, I paid some heavy dues, and I often wonder why I did the things I do. For the Lord holds all the answers to my questions, come what may. We're gonna talk about them soon, show me the way. Well, I wanna walk with you, take my hand, amen. Hold it tight, I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Well, now the final curtain will be seen. Now it's time to say goodbye to this way of life I've been. So bury me.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve. The show is Word for Word. This show is for Friday the 23rd of March 2018. We are in the book of Jasher, Sefer HaYashar, and we're going to be in chapter 74, 75, and 76 today. I'd like to give my website before we get started here. It's https://// www.pastor-steve.com. All my shows are archived there. You can get them all. Word for Word and Wake Up Call. I've got Wake Up Call there, and a lot of people have been looking to find out where I hide all my stuff. Well, that's where I hide it all. And we're coming down the end of Jasher. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows, and it's over. Then I'll be getting in probably into the Book of Tobit and some of the other apocryphal books. And then we'll be getting into the New Testament sometime this year. We'll have to see how things go. We've had a lot of things going on in our world and our lives lately, with a lot of violence. And I don't comment so much on these shows. These are scriptural archives. But I do on my Wake Up Call shows on Thursday. So if you're looking for sermonizing, that's the day. It'll be Thursday for Wake Up Call in the evening. So let's get into... my back has bothered me a little bit here, scooting forward. I must have slept wrong or something. Chapter 74 of the book of Jasher. Verse 1. I need to change my glasses. Those are my slight distance glasses. I need to put my close-up reading glasses on. I've got 3 sets of glasses. Oh, old age is so fun. In the end of years died Shaul, king of Edom, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in... son of Achbor reigned in his place. I've lost my spot. Boy, that's bad when I changed the glasses. Verse 2, in the 16th year of the reign of Moshe over Cush, Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in the land of Edom over all the children of Edom for 38 years. Verse 3, I need to crank my volume up just a little bit. There we go. In his days, Moab rebelled against the power of Edom, having been under Edom since the days of Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote them and Midian and brought Moab under subjection to Edom. Verse 4. And when Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned over Edom, all the children of Moab withdrew their allegiance from Edom. Verse 5. And Angeas, king of Africa, died in those days, and Asdrubal, his son, reigned in his stead. And in those days died Yanias, king of the children of Chittim. Those were the Hittites. And they buried him in his temple, which he had built for himself in the plain of Canopia for a residence. And Latinus reigned in his stead. Verse 7. In the 22nd year of the reign of Moshe over the children of Cush, Latinus reigned over the children of Chittim 45 years. Verse 8, and he also built for himself a great and mighty tower, and he built therein an elegant temple for his residence to conduct his government as was the custom. verse 9. And in the third year of his reign, he caused a proclamation to be made to all his skillful men who made many ships for him. Verse 10. And Latinus assembled all his forces, and they came in ships and went therein to fight with Asdrubal, son of Angeas, king of Africa, and they came to Africa and engaged in battle with Asdrubal and his army. Verse 11. And Latinus prevailed over Asdrubal, and Latinus took from Asdrubal the aqueduct which his father had brought from the children of Chittim, when he took Yania, the daughter of Uzi, for a wife. So Latinus overthrew the bridge of the aqueduct and smote the whole army of Asdrubal a severe blow. Verse 12. And the remaining strong men of Asdrubal strengthened themselves, and their hearts were filled with envy, and they courted death, and again engaged in battle with Latinus, king of Chittim. Verse 13. And the battle was severe upon all the men of Africa, and they all fell wounded before Latinus and his people. And Asdrubal the king also fell in that battle. Verse 14. And the king Asdrubal had a very beautiful daughter whose name was Ushpezna. And all the men of Africa embroidered her likeness on their garments on account of her great beauty and comely appearance. Verse 15. And the men of Latinus saw Ushpezna, the daughter of Asdrubal, and praised her under Latinus, their king. Verse 16. And Latinus ordered her to be brought to him, and Latinus took Ushpezna for a wife, and he turned back on his way to Chittim. Verse 17. And it was after the death of Asdrubal, son of Angeas, when Latina had turned back to his land from the battle, that all the inhabitants of Africa rose up and took Anibal, the son of Angeas, the younger brother of Asdrubal, and made him king instead of his brother over the whole land of Africa. Now, that's not the entire continent. That was just a country at that time on that continent. Verse 18. And when he reigned, he resolved to go to Chittim to fight with the children of Chittim to avenge the cause of Asdrubal, his brother, and the cause of the inhabitants of Africa, and he did so. Verse 19. And he made many ships, and he came therein with his whole army, and he went to Chittim. Verse 20. So Anibal fought with the children of Chittim, and the children of Chittim fell wounded before Anibal and his army, and Anibal avenged his brother's cause. Verse 21. And Anibal continued the war for 18 years with the children of Chittim, and Anibal dwelt in the land of Chittim and encamped there for a long time. Verse 22. And Anibal smote the children of Chittim very severely, and he slew their great men and princes. And of the rest of the people he smote about 80,000 men. Verse 23. And at the end of days and years, Anibal returned to his land of Africa, and he reigned securely in the place of Asdrubal, his brother. Okay, well, they were warring back and forth. It was a time of war in that territory of the world. So that covers that. Now we're going to get into chapter 75. If I get that pen to write, there we go. Verse 1. At that time, in the 180th year of the Israelites going down into Mitzrayim, there went forth from Mitzrayim valiant men, 30,000 on foot, from the children of Israel, who were all of the tribe of Joseph, of the children of Ephraim, the son of Joseph. Verse 2. For they said, the period was completed which Yahweh had appointed to the children of Israel in the times of old which he had spoken to Abraham. Okay, so they were going forth. Verse 3. And these men girded themselves, and they put each man his sword at his side, and every man his armor upon him. And they trusted to their strength, and they went out together from Mitzrayim with a mighty hand. Verse 4. But they brought no provision for the road, only silver and gold, not even bread for that day did they bring in their hands. For they thought of getting their provision for pay from the Pelishtim, and if not, they would take it by force. Oh boy. Verse 5. And these men were very mighty and valiant men. One man could pursue 1,000, and two could rout 10,000. So they trusted to their strength and went together as they were. Verse 6. And they directed their course toward the land of Gath. And they went down and found the shepherds of Gath feeding the cattle of the children of Gath. Now, they use the word cattle here, and it means livestock, not just moo cows. Verse 7. And they said to the shepherds, give us some of the sheep for pay that we may eat, for we are hungry, for have eaten no bread this day. Verse 8, and the shepherd said, are they our sheep or cattle that we should give them to you even for pay? So the children of Ephraim approached to take them by force. Verse 9, and the shepherds of Gath shouted over them that their cry was heard at a distance. So all the children of Gath went out to them. Verse 10. And when the children of Gath saw the evil doings of the children of Ephraim, they returned and assembled the men of Gath. And they put on each man his armor and came forth to the children of Ephraim for battle. Verse 11. And they engaged with them in the valley of Gath, and the battle was severe, and they smote from each other a great many on that day. Verse 12. And on the second day the children of Gath sent to all the cities of the Pelishtim, that's the Philistines, that they should come to their help, saying, come up unto us, and help us, that we may smite the children of Ephraim who have come forth from Mitzrayim to take our cattle and to fight against us without cause. Now, verse 14. Now it has now the souls. The word is nephesh, the word that they use for souls, and it's being. So if it would read better, now the beings of the children of Ephraim were exhausted with hunger and thirst, for they had eaten no bread for 3 days. That's food, okay? And 40,000 men went forth from the cities of the Pelishtim to the assistance of the men of Gath. Verse 15. And these men were engaged in battle with the children of Ephraim, and Yahweh delivered the children of Ephraim into the hands of the Pelishtim. Verse 16. And they smote all the children of Ephraim who had gone forth from Mitzrayim. None were remaining but 10 men who had run away from the engagement. Here's why. Verse 17. For this evil was from Yahweh against the children of Ephraim, for they transgressed the word of Yahweh in going forth from Mitzrayim before the period had arrived which Yahweh in the days of old had appointed to Israel. They jumped the gun. They were presumptive. Okay. Verse 18. And of the Pelishtim also there fell a great many, about 20,000 men, and their brethren carried them and buried them in their cities. Verse 19. And the slain of the children of Ephraim remained forsaken in the valley of Gath for many days and years, and were not brought to burial. And the valley was filled with men's bones. Verse 20. And the men who had escaped from the battle came to Mitzrayim and told all the children of Israel all that had befallen them. Verse 21. And their father Ephraim mourned over them for many days, and his brethren came to console him. Verse 22. And he came unto his wife, and she bare a son, and he called his name Bariah, for she was unfortunate in his house. And that ends chapter 75. We're going to get into chapter 76 here. These are not that long of chapters. That's the whole deal. I don't usually like to go through quickly if there's a lot of spiritual and scriptural meaning to it, but this is just a history of battles here. Get a hit of this coffee. Here we go. Chapter 76, and this I think is a longer, 62 verses, so this will be a long one. Chapter 76, verse 1. And Moshe, the son of Amram, was still king in the land of Cush in those days, and he prospered in his kingdom, and he conducted the government of the children of Cush in justice, in righteousness, and integrity. Verse 2. And all the children of Cush loved Moshe all the days that he reigned over them, and all the inhabitants of the land of Cush were greatly afraid of him. That could be reverent. Okay, it can read two ways. Verse 3. And in the 40th year of the reign of Moshe over Cush, Moshe was sitting on the royal throne while Adonijah the queen was before him, and all the nobles were sitting around him. Verse 4. And Adonijah the queen said before the king and the princes, "What is this thing which you, the children of Cush, have done for this long time?" Verse 5. "Surely you know that for 40 years that this has reigned, this man has reigned over Cush, and he has not approached me," that means sexually, "nor has he served the gods of the children of Cush." Ooh. Verse 6. "Now therefore hear, O you children of Cush, and let this man no more reign over you, as he is not of our flesh." Verse 7. "Behold, Menachris, my son, is grown up. Let him reign over you, for he is better for you to serve the son of you, or for it is better for you, pardon me, to serve the son of your Lord than to serve a stranger, a slave of the king of Mitzrayim." Ooh, she really laid it on him, because he wouldn't touch her, because she was not an Israelite. He wouldn't mix. Verse 8. "And all the people and nobles of the children of Cush heard the words which Adonijah the queen had spoken in her ears." Verse 9. "And all the people were preparing until the evening, and in the morning they rose up early and made Menachris, son of Kikianus, king over them." Well, they did what she asked. Verse 10. "And all the children of Cush were afraid to stretch forth their hand against Moshe, for Yahweh was with Moshe, and the children of Cush remembered the oath which they swore unto Moshe, therefore they did no harm to him." Verse 11. "But the children of Cush gave many presents to Moshe, and sent him from them with great honor." Verse 12. "So Moshe went forth from the land of Cush, and went home, and ceased to reign over Cush. And Moshe was 66 years old when he went out of the land of Cush, for the thing was from Yahweh, for the period had arrived which he had appointed in the days of old, to bring forth Israel from the affliction of the children of Ham." Okay. Verse 13. "So Moshe went to Midian, for he was afraid to return to Mitzrayim on account of Parao, and he went and sat at a well of water in Midian." And here is verse 14, and you can reference the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 16, for this. Now remember, Reuel was in Mitzrayim advising Parao, and Parao wouldn't listen to him, so he says, well, okay, so he went home. He went back to Midian. Verse 14, "And the seven daughters of Reuel, the Midianite, went out to feed their father's flock. And they came to the well and drew water to water their father's flock." Verse 16, "So the shepherds of Midian came and drove them away, and Moshe rose up and helped them and watered the flock. Verse 17, and they came home to their father Reuel and told him what Moshe did for them. And they said, a Mitzrayim man has delivered us from the hands of the shepherds. He drew up the water for us and watered the flock. In other words, he helped us. The other shepherds were going to just run us off because we were women. Verse 19. And Reuel said to his daughters, and where is he? Why have you left the man? Because he did him a big service. Verse 20. And Reuel sent for him and fetched him and brought him home, and he ate bread with him. Verse 21. Verse 21. And Moshe related to Reuel that he had fled from Mitzrayim, that he reigned 40 years over Cush, and that they afterward had taken the government from him and had sent him away in peace with honor and with presents. Verse 22. And when Reuel had heard the words of Moshe, Reuel said within himself, I will put this man into the prison house, whereby I shall conciliate the children of Cush, for he has fled from them. Talking to himself. Verse 23, deal with this. This tells a story that's not in the King James. And they took and put him into the prison house. And Moshe was in prison 10 years. And while Moshe was in the prison house, Zipporah, the daughter of Reuel, took pity over him and supported him with bread and water all the time. Verse 24, and all the children of Israel were yet in the land of Mitzrayim, serving the Mitzrayim in all manner of hard work, and the hand of Mitzrayim continued in severity over the children of Israel in those days. Verse 25, and at that time, Yahweh smote Pharaoh, king of Egypt, Mitzrayim, and he afflicted him with the plague of leprosy from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Owing to the cruel treatment of the children of Israel, was this plague at that time from Yahweh upon Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim. Payback is tough there, folks. A little coffee. Verse 26. For Yahweh had hearkened to the prayer of his people, the children of Israel, and their cry reached him on account of their hard work. It was cruel work, okay? Verse 27. Still his anger did not turn from them, because they had apostatized. And the hand of Pharaoh was still stretched out against the children of Israel, and Pharaoh hardened his neck before Yahweh. And he increased his yoke over the children of Israel, and embittered their lives with all manners of hard work. Verse 28, and when Yahweh had inflicted the plague upon Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, he asked his wise men and sorcerers to cure him. Verse 29, and his wise men and sorcerers said unto him, now listen to this. that if the blood of little children were put into the wounds, he would be healed. Oh, oh, oh. Verse 30. And Parao hearkened to them and sent his ministers to Goshen, to the children of Israel, to take their little children. Verse 31. And Parao's ministers went and took the infants of the children of Israel from the bosoms of their mothers by force, and they brought them to Parao daily, a child each day. And the physicians killed them and applied them to the plague. Thus did they all the days. These were sorcerers that were advising him about that blood of children. Well, what's going on today with all these child abduction and Satan worship? Sorcery? Drinking the blood of children? Times haven't changed much, have they? Verse 32. And the number of the children which Parao slew was 375. Verse 33. But Yahweh hearkened not to the physicians of the king of Mitzrayim, and the plague went on increasing mightily. Verse 34, and Parao was 10 years afflicted with that plague. And the heart of Parao was more hardened against the children of Israel. Verse 35, and at the end of 10 years, Yahweh continued to afflict Parao with destructive plagues. Verse 36, and Yahweh smote him with a bad tumor and sickness at the stomach. And that plague turned to a severe boil. Verse 37. At that time, the two ministers of Parao came from the land of Goshen, where all the children of Israel were, and went to the house of Parao and said to him, we have seen the children of Israel slacken in their work and negligent in their labor. Verse 38. And when Parao heard the words of his ministers, his anger was kindled against the children of Israel exceedingly, for he was greatly grieved and at his bodily pain. Verse 39, and he answered and said, now that the children of Israel know that I am ill, they turn and scoff at us. Now therefore harness my chariot for me, and I will betake myself to Goshen, and will see the scoff of the children of Israel with which they are deriding me. So his servants harnessed the chariot for him. Verse 40. And they took and made him ride upon a horse, for he was not able to ride of himself. Verse 41. And he took with him 10 horsemen and 10 footmen, and went to the children of Israel to Goshen. Okay, now, he couldn't ride in the chariot, because the chariot was a hard axle. And you'd bump up and down over every stone, and he just couldn't stand that long to ride down in a chariot, so they put him on a horse. Verse 42, and when they had come to the border of Mitzrayim, the king's horse passed into a narrow place, elevated in the hollow part of the vineyard, fenced on both sides, the low plain country being on the other side. Verse 43, and the horses ran rapidly in that place and pressed each other, and the other horses pressed at the king's horse. Verse 44. And the king's horse fell into the low plain while the king was riding upon it. And when he fell, the chariot turned over the king's face, and the horse lay upon the king. Well, he evidently, it's conflicting whether he was riding in a chariot or not. It's very confusing right here. The chariot turned over on the king's face, and the horse lay upon the king, and the king cried out, for his flesh was very sore. Verse 45, and the flesh of the king was torn from him, and his bones were broken, and he could not ride, for this thing was from Yahweh to him, for Yahweh had heard the cries of his people, the children of Israel, and their affliction. Verse 46, and his servants carried him upon their shoulders a little at a time, and they brought him back to Mitzrayim, and the horsemen who were with him came also back to Mitzrayim. Verse 47, and they placed him in his bed, and the king knew that his end was come to die. So Aparanath, the queen, his wife, came and cried before the king, and the king wept a great weeping with her. Verse 48. We got a little ahead of this coffee here. Just a second. Ah, that's better. Verse 48, and all his nobles and servants came on that day and saw the king in that affliction and wept a great weeping with him. Verse 49, and the princes of the king and all his counselors advised the king to cause one to reign in his stead in the land, whomsoever he should choose from his sons. Verse 50. And the king had three sons and two daughters, which Aparanath, the queen, his wife, had born to him, besides the king's children of concubines. Verse 51. And these were their names: the firstborn, Othri; the second, Adikam; and the third, Morion, and their sisters. The name of the elder, Bathya, and of the other, Akuzi. Verse 52. Now listen to this. It's a little funny. And Othri, the firstborn of the king, was an idiot, precipitous and hurried in his words. Verse 53. But Adikam was a cunning and a wise man, and knowing in all the wisdom of Mitzrayim, but of unseemly aspect, thick in flesh, in other words, fat, and very short in stature. His height was 1 cubit. He was a little fat dwarf. Verse 54, and when the king saw Adikam, his son, intelligent and wise in all things, The king resolved that he should be king in his stead after his death. Verse 55, and he took for him a wife, Geduda, daughter of Abilot, and he was 10 years old, and she bare unto him 4 sons. Okay, well, verse 56, and he afterward went and took 3 wives and begat 8 sons and 3 daughters. So this must have been over a period of time. See, they don't follow a straight timeline here. Verse 57, and the disorder greatly prevailed over the king, and his flesh stank like the flesh of a carcass cast upon a field in summer time during the heat of the sun. In other words, the leprosy was rotting him. He was rotting. It's fatal. Verse 58, and when the king saw that his sickness had greatly strengthened itself over him, he ordered his son Adikam to be brought to him, and they made him king over the land in his place. Verse 59. And at the end of 3 years, the king died in shame, disgrace, and disgust. And his servants carried him and buried him in the sepulcher of the kings of Mitzrayim and Zoan Mitzrayim. Verse 60. But they embalmed him not, as was usual with kings, for his flesh was putrid. In other words, he rotted to death. And they could not approach to embalm him on account of the stench, so they buried him in haste. They just quickly just put him in there and closed the door. Verse 61. For this evil was from Yahweh to him, for Yahweh had requited him evil for the evil which in his days he had done to Israel. Verse 62. And he died with terror and with shame. And his son Adikam reigned in his place. In other words, he rotted to death as a punishment from Yahweh for all the stuff he had been doing to Israel. So this was not good for Pharaoh. And that ends chapter 76. And we don't really have a lot of time to get into chapter 77. But it's about the rule of Adikam. And 77 is a pretty good sized chapter. Is shorter. 79 is... Those are 2 medium chapters. So what we will do is... do 77, 78, and 79 on Monday. Now, that is going to be the 26th of March. The first part of April is Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'm going to be pre-recording all this, just the rest of this week and next week, for the feast, so I can go and enjoy myself and fellowship and be in obedience to Yahweh. I may do some wake-up calls. I may just do reruns because I'm pressed for time here. It's that time of the year, but there's so much stuff going on right now in the world that I may get a couple of good wake-up calls in. It is very important that everybody that is of Israel observe the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That is just absolutely a must. If you don't, it's not going to be good. So you need to be obedient to Yahweh and keep the feast. Pardon the clattering. I'm trying to move my big calendar. Begins on the 2nd and runs through the 11th. Okay. Passover preparation day, etc., etc. So, I will be gone down at the feast. We've got a bunch of people coming. Eli's going to be there, and just a bunch of people. It's something that I look forward to yearly. And the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. This deal about being Israel, brothers and sisters, it's not a game. It's not something that you play at. Okay? It's real. These are commanded. These are feasts of Israel. And if you're going to claim to be Israel, which we do, then we need to be Israel. We don't need to be playing games with this. So I wholeheartedly urge you to prepare and get ready for this feast. This is very, very important. Well, I'm coming down to the end of the hour here. I really have enjoyed this session in Jasher. And I'll be back on Monday the 26th with three more chapters. Jasher will end during the feast. I will have everything recorded. And then I'll get back into the next section of the apocryphal books after the Feast of Unleavened Bread when I return home. So may Yahweh bless and keep you, and it has very definitely been a pleasure. Praise Yahweh. Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, My refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong, because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent, for he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra. Young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high.